Has anybody ever been invited out to dinner or lunch? Right? So you get that invitation and you begin to look forward to it. Yes? Am I the only one? No, okay. So you begin to look forward to the invitation to going out. Now, it's not about the food, because you were going to eat anyway, somewhere, somehow, right? So it's not about the food. It's about the fact that you're going to go have dinner with somebody. You're going to go have lunch with somebody, right? And we look forward to it. Next week, I want to give you something to look forward to, because we're going to have dinner with the Lord. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion next week. And the Bible says this: Jesus eagerly awaited dinner with his disciples. Jesus is looking forward to you coming to the dinner table next Sunday. He eagerly awaits dinner with his disciples. So be in prayer this week about communion, and come, and we're going to have a wonderful communion. Amen? Amen. All right, so we are talking about Jesus the Blesser, part two. I started part one before the hurricane. And then I started to think about this, and I said, wow, do I really want to go up on the stage and talk about Jesus the Blesser after what has happened in the Bahamas? The Bahamas has affected me in a great way, and I'm so grateful to all of you who came up Wednesday and lifted the Bahamas in prayer. And I'm asking God to open up some avenues where we can be of a help in Bahamas without having our stuff wasted. And I got a phone call yesterday of somebody who may be able to help us ensure that the thousands of articles of clothing that we're going to send to the Bahamas gets to where it needs to be, where the people can be helped. And we're getting ready to partner up with Sam in his ROTC thing, which I totally don't understand yet, but we're going to start working in that situation and helping him, because I have a great feeling about it that it's going to get to where it needs to go. And so I started to think, you know, do I really want to talk about the blessings? Because, you know, when surface, it doesn't look like they've been blessed. We've been blessed. The hurricane missed us. We were blessed greatly. But that hurricane stepped on the Bahamas and wouldn't leave. And I began saying, do I want to really preach about the blesser when people are saying, ooh, he didn't bless the Bahamas? And then God always has an answer for me, one way or another. And Pastor Donna answered me this morning, not knowing she was answering a question that I had to God. And God said, you don't know. You don't know the blessings that I've poured out on the Bahamas. You don't know how many people came to an understanding of me, who accepted me as their God through the trials and tribulations that they're going through. You don't know the work that I'm doing. You see, Jesus is a blesser. It's his nature. So I'm going on with part two of Jesus the Blesser. You are blessed when you live a life like Jesus. See, for most of us, in most of our life, we've lived a life contrary to the life of Jesus. It's been about us. And with Jesus, it was never about him. It was always about others. We're taught as little children that we're living a life that's all about us. Go into any nursery room and you're going to hear this sound: mine! never leaves us. We spend the rest of our life trying to get what is mine. And Jesus was very clear in his life. It's not about you. Let's go to the scripture. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is Jesus, and everywhere he went, you always noticed that there was just a very large amount of people surrounding him. They followed him. Does anybody ever just want to go and be alone? Yeah. I thought that was just me. Because I feel like I've always got somebody around me. There's always somebody following me. There's always somebody trying to talk to me. There's always somebody trying to get my attention. But that's a life like Jesus. When you're willing to give of yourself instead of saying, mine, mine. So there was always a lot of people because Jesus was unselfish. It would be foolish for us to think that he wanted to have a crowd around him everywhere he went. It gets tiring. And I only have two or three. He had thousands. Two, yeah. One. Okay, let's go. Who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. You see, there was always a pull. They weren't following him around because they liked him. They weren't following him around because they had nothing to do. No, they had a reason they were following him around. They wanted to be healed of their diseases. They wanted something from him. They wanted to pull from him. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. When you start, listen to me carefully, when you start showing the power of God, people will find you. I get calls from all over the country. I have no idea why I'm talking to this person in Tennessee, why I'm talking to this person in Michigan, why I'm talking to this person in Oregon, why I'm talking to this person in Washington. I don't even know them. But they found me. I got a call from Georgia. Lady was crying hysterically. She said, me and my husband were in the car. We had to flee our house. The demons took over. The house is full of demonic activity and we can no longer live there. We had to get out of our own house. How did they get my number? How did they know to call me? I said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in your house. You turn that car around right now. And you go back home and this is what you do. And I gave them a long explanation of what they needed to do when they got back in their house. The next call I got said, we have never felt such peace in our house in all of our life. Every impure spirit was cast out. Every impure spirit was removed. All these people were trying to touch him because they could understand the power that was coming off of him. They couldn't explain it, but they could feel it. Be careful. You get enough God in you, and you're going to have to start living a life like Jesus. you're going to have to realize that there's going to be a demand on you. There's going to be a pull on you. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor." What? Huh? Blessed if you are poor. No, he's not talking about money. Not talking about money at all. Blessed are you that realize you're in need of a Savior. Blessed are you who realize that you need help. Blessed are you who realize that you can't do this on your own. Blessed is the man that understands he needs God in order to take care of his family. Blessed is that man. Blessed is the woman who understands she needs God in order to have a healthy marriage. You see, the rich person, and not talking about money, I'll talk about money next week. Little plug. It's going to be all about money. The rich person is the one who says, "I got this," as their marriage falls apart. "I got this," as their finances fall apart. "I don't need anybody because I got this." That's the rich person. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. You see what he's saying? If you thirst after me, if you hunger after the things of God, I'm going to overfill your plate. I'm going to give you more than you can eat, and you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who are concerned for the lost, because they'll be in heaven through what you do. You may cry now, but you'll be laughing in heaven. You'll be laughing when you find out the influence your life was on somebody. And I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking about the ones who are living a life like Christ. For the ones that have led people the other way, you're not going to be so happy. Blessed are you when people hate you. I can attest to that. Praise God. I got more enemies than I got friends. Somebody said, "No, y'all don't know. You don't have a clue." You see, I say something that's the truth and you don't like it, so all of a sudden, I'm a bad guy. That's right. I have a lot because I'm hated a lot. When they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, not because I did something stupid, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. And you know, that's just how they're ancestors treated the prophets as well. They hated the prophets. Why did they hate the prophets? Because the prophets held something they didn't have, and that was called truth. They spoke the truth of God, and they were hated for it. Because we don't like the truth. Jack Nicholson said, "You can't handle the truth." Hey, that's what he said. He was right. I said, yeah, you're right. They can't handle the truth. They don't want the truth. The truth's going to cause them to have to look at themselves, evaluate themselves, change something about themselves. We don't want the truth. Leave us alone. We have to live a life like Jesus. If you're going to be blessed. You know what? I know you're too tired to go help that friend. So was I. I went anyway. Found out Thursday that Debbie had been transferred to Sebring. I turned my car right around and went to Sebring. Although I had something else I was going to do. What would Jesus do? The greatest saying in Christianity, what would Jesus do? Something we fail to ask ourselves over and over again. God's made it very clear, blessings abound to those that live a life like he does. You're blessed when the truth is revealed to you. Let's look at Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." The truth is, Jesus is real. And some of you won't believe until you can see the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. That's sad, because that's going to be too late for you. See, you live your life thinking that you don't need a God because you don't understand you're under a law of grace. Which means God lets you get away with a lot of stuff. Sometimes you're still blessed even though you're outside of Christ because you live under a law of grace. And grace has an expiration date. Listen to me. Grace has an expiration date. That's the day of judgment. You will no longer be under grace. That's the day Jesus is going to say, "Hey, look at me. I'm flesh, I'm bones. You can see the scars in my hands." It's going to be too late. It's over. And it ain't going to do you any good to say, "Hey, I didn't know." Because Jesus is going to show the video of you sitting here. He told you. You just didn't listen. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. What does that mean? That means God has done everything he knows to do to get you to understand. God has done everything he knows to do to get you to see. He's like, "What else can I do? I'll show you that I can eat." He did not need to eat that fish. I see God all the time. Somebody donated this beautiful file cabinet for the office. And then somebody else donates a organization custom closet system for the office closet at the same time. They don't know each other. Neither one knows the other person. Neither one knows what the other person did. But God. Put it together. God put it together. The hand of God. And then God sends me four men to help me put it together. That's the God I serve. I don't need to see his flesh. I don't need to see his bone. I don't need to see the scars. I know God when I'm in his presence. Like, what are the odds? In the natural, what are the odds that I would get everything from all these different areas all at the same time to complete the project? Can you see God without seeing God? Because you don't live 2,000 years ago. And odds are real high he's not going to appear in this room and show you his flesh. I think he's past that. I think he's over that. He might prove me wrong. He's God. He can do that if he wants to. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that it is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Truth is being revealed. He said, "It was written, I gave it to you, but now I'm showing it to you." Then he opened their minds. Listen, they've been with him for 3 years. And their minds hadn't been open yet. I was a Christian for 20 years, maybe more, I don't know, and my mind was closed. God had not opened my mind yet. I didn't even understand what that was. If somebody said this is the way it was, then that's the way it was. They told me that getting slayed in the spirit was fake. So, getting slayed in the spirit was fake. Not going to happen to me. No, Jack. Some of y'all know it ain't fake, huh? Barbara? You know, Barbara didn't like to be slayed in the spirit. Fight it. Huh? Fight it? Let me tell you, like a linebacker. She planted. She planted, bared down, not knocking her down. I went to get her. It bounced off of her and it took three guys to hold me up. She wasn't going down. Turned to her after that and I said, "Barbara, one day the Holy Spirit's going to knock you on your..." I don't think she believed me. I don't know, a couple weeks later, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit said, "Now?" She's talking, she's having fun. She don't even know I'm there, I don't think. I don't know. I lifted my hand, and down to the floor she went. Is it fake? Bruce says he's got a new name for me. It's called the hand. He spent some time on the floor with Jesus I spent years teaching people that was fake. Years. Because my mind was not open. When you come to church, you should be praying for God to open up your mind. Open my mind, God. Your mind is locked. Your mind is secure. The disciples had been with him for 3 years. They heard all the parables. They heard all the lessons. They hung on his every word, and yet their mind had still been closed. He opened up their mind so they could understand the scriptures. You can't understand the scriptures if God doesn't unlock them for you. I never understood the Bible. I'd read it. It was Greek to me. I don't care what translation I looked at. I didn't understand it. I'm so sad at the state of Christianity today. They read the scripture and they don't understand it has a meaning. They don't understand that God said, I have kind of shrouded this thing where you can't understand it. But we want to think, no, I got this. I can understand it. God wants you to understand it, but you have to get your mind open. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Next. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's a very important scripture. Because you remember there was some times in the Bible where a group of people went out to do something in the name of Jesus and got their lunch handed to them. One group went out and they got beat so bad they ended up with no clothes on. They did it without the power. Jesus was still here. The power hadn't been sent yet. What is the power? It's the Holy Spirit. There was no Holy Spirit at that time that they could tap into. So Jesus said, just chill until you receive the power. You come to church to receive the power, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be empowered. When he had led them out to his vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. The last thing God did was bless his people. Jesus. The last thing Jesus did was he blessed his people. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. You need to understand this. If you're not praising God, you're not blessed. Oh, my God. Wow. Because when you're blessed, you have to praise God. You know what the Christian rhetoric statement that I hate the most is? When I ask somebody how they're doing, they say, I'm blessed and highly favored. That drives me insane. Because I feel like, you know, if I had 2 weeks, I'd sit down and explain that to you so you would understand that ain't the case. Excuse me? ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you this, I'm working on my blessings. You see, because I haven't received all that God has for me yet. And I'm not about to get into a place where I start thinking I'm blessed and I'm highly favored so I can settle for what I got. No! I'm not blessed and highly favored. I'm working on my blessings. God's got some more for me. I want them. I'm chasing them. But see, when you're blessed, you start praising God with joy. See, that's the other part of that. See, you come in sometimes and you're praising God because that's what it's time to do. It's time. The music started. I'm going to sing. Well, I'm going to sit here. I ain't going to sing, but I'm going to listen to the music. Am I meddling? Oh, I hate when I meddle. Yeah, I really don't care. But when you're blessed, you praise God with joy. How many, and don't answer this, how many look forward to singing to God today? Everybody didn't do it. I'm telling you, I can see. But some of you look forward. Is Diana your name? Diana looks forward to praising God. Listen, I watched Diana. She comes in. She don't care who's looking at her funny. She don't even see them. I'm telling you something. She just praise God her way, and that's that. With joy. She's joyfully praising God when she comes in here. I see it every time she's here. I thank you for that. It's encouraging. It's looking at this clock, I don't like it. You're blessed by your obedience. I don't think I'm going to get there today, but just so you know what's coming, I have 10 reasons why you're not blessed. We're going to get personal. We're going to get down to the reality of our life, and we're going to see what in the world is causing our blessings to go away from us. We don't like to admit we're not blessed, but we do things that hinder our blessings. Wouldn't you want to know what those things are? Scripture, Luke. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave birth and nursed you." And Jesus is like, "What?" Don't. No. That's not where her blessings come from. That's just what she was called to do. I don't think I get one blessing for getting on this stage and preaching to you. That's what I was called to do. Doesn't get me anything. All right, I'll accept that. He says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." The Bible says, be a doer and not a hearer. And Jesus said, you can hear it, but unless you obey it, Where's your blessing? We're blessed when we stay focused. I had to explain to somebody yesterday that you're where you are because you're not focused. If you go into my office, it says on the wall, I spy WFM. I wrote it there 8 years ago. And it reminds me that I have to have a focus. It reminds me that I can't take my eyes off of the ministry that God's given me, because the minute I take my eyes off of my ministry, devil's going to take it from me. He's going to get me feeling like I can't continue. He's going to get me feeling like I'm not accomplishing anything. He's going to just end it for me. I can't get in agreement with him. I got to stay in agreement with God. I got to stay focused on what God's doing in my life. I got to stay focused on God. When we lose our focus, we lose our blessings. When you don't stay focused, you lose your marriage. Yes? Some people in here are about to get married. Several couples in here are about to get married. Some of you just got married recently. Somebody's volunteering back there. Lose your focus and watch what happens to your marriage. If your wife's still not the most important thing to you, you're set up to lose her. If your husband still isn't the most important thing in your life other than God, you're set to lose him. Don't listen to me. Go look at the divorce statistics. Jeremiah 17 says this. Well, I can tell you what it says. Oh, there it is. Listen to this. Jesus is telling you to stay focused. He said, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. I don't know, there's a spirit of demonic in this place right now. Telling people they need to leave the church. And I'm getting these strange phone calls that says, I've been told by God that I have to leave the church, but he hasn't told me where to go, so I'm floundering around and I can't find a place. What do you think? What do I think? I think that's not God. God doesn't do that. My God promotes. He does not demote. My God will not separate me from a family that I love and that loves me and send me in floundering into nowhere. When God moves me, the last time he moved me from a place that I loved and a place that I cherished and a place that I couldn't went to, it was to give me a pastorate. It was to promote me. Anytime I left the church, it was on my own, because God never told me to leave that church. I just believed the lie of the enemy. I told somebody this week, God, Satan has a plan. If you don't understand the plan of Satan, then get ready for it. His plan is simple. If I can separate you from your flock, if I can hunt you down like a lion and get you separated from the herd. You think I'm messing with you now? Let me get you alone. So I'm going to sound like God. I'm going to talk to you just like God. You know, hey, you've been in that church for 4 years, and it's time for you to go. It's time. Yeah. They don't really like you anyway. It's time. And then when he gets you separated and you have nowhere to go, I have never went anywhere God sent me to go until he told me exactly where I was going. What's the point? God, if you want me to go, tell me where to go. I'll go. I'll go now. But you got to tell me where to go. I'm not going to believe the lie of the enemy that says, time for me to get from here with nowhere to go. The Bible says this, they will be like a tree planted in the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. As long as God is bearing fruit, then check, test the spirits, the Bible says, and to see whether it's coming from you, coming from the devil, or coming from God. And God's a confirmation God. I've never done nothing that God hasn't sent confirmations. I had strangers walking up to me saying, hey, Pastor. And I'm looking at them funny like, what you talking about, Willis? They don't even know me. But God said, I want you to pastor my church. And then he began sending people from all over the world telling me that I was his pastor. He's a God of confirmation. You got to stay focused. If you don't stay focused on God, every little thing will irritate you. I'm getting strange looks. That's funny, right? Maybe the guy's got a toothache. I don't know. Maybe the guy just looks funny. I don't know. Focusing on the wrong thing. Focus on God. Focus on what you're doing. Focus on the ministry that God gave you. Focus on the gifts that God gave you. And then do a John Cena on that guy. You don't see me. Or I don't see you, wherever you want to go. I'm going to close today with this one, and we're going to get to the 10 reasons that blessings may be withheld from you after the week after communion, okay? And that is something I want you to understand, because a lot of people think they're blessed and they're not blessed. And that true blessings can only come from God. You see, I don't know if many of you were here when I interviewed the drug dealer on the stage. But I brought a drug dealer on the stage, Denise, and I said, I want to ask you some questions. Now, before I brought him on the stage, I had a meeting with him, and I said, is there anything off limits? And he said, there's nothing off limits. This drug dealer had turned to God. He was no longer a drug dealer. So I brought him up on the stage and I begin to interview him and I begin to question him. After the interview was over, he cried in my arms for 30 minutes. But I asked him questions like, "You made a lot of money, didn't you?" "Oh yeah, man, I was banking. I had the bankrolls. I was making..." "Which model Mercedes did you drive here tonight?" "Well, I don't have a Mercedes. I got a work truck that my company provides for me." "So you don't even have a car?" "No." "How about a plane? You got a plane? You made a lot of money. Where's your plane?" "Well, I don't have a plane." "Ah, it's in your bank account. That's where it all is. You made all that money, so it's sitting in your fat bank account. How many zeros you got?" He said, "They're all zeros." Satan will let you hold it, but he'll never let you keep it. It's not a true blessing if it doesn't come from God. He'll let you feel it. He'll let you touch it. He'll let you use it, but he's coming back to get it. Let's look at the scripture, and I'm going to close, I promise. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." He's saying, "I don't change like Satan." Satan gives you the gift, and then when you get very comfortable, he's going to come around from the back and he's going to grab it back. Because he never wanted you to have it. God wants you to have the blessings. God wants you to have the gift. I always say this: God is in the results. Do you still have it? It came from God. My company turns 40 this year. It was a gift from God because God's in the results and I still have it. Everything God gave me, I still have. Some of you have been given some stuff and you don't have it anymore. You were given a husband, but you don't have him anymore. You were given a wife, but you don't have him anymore. You were given a friend, but you don't have him anymore. They weren't from God. It was not ordained by God. I want everything in my life to be ordained by God. I want that perfect gift that does not change like shifting shadows. We live in a Christianity today that has set the blessing part of it aside because God's not about that. And I wonder if they read the same book I read. I read the Holy Bible. Holy, that's the one I read. From Genesis to Revelation, it talks about the blessing. I could find enough scriptures about blessing to continue my walk with Jesus, part 14, 8 more weeks. There is no limit to the blessing. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know," God knows, the highest form of truth is what God knows. It's not what I know and it's not what you know. Don't get offended. But you're not the author and the finisher. You're not the Alpha and the Omega. That belongs to God. "For I know the plans I have for you. God has plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. That's God's plans. If something else is going on in your life, you're working on your own plans. You're not working on God's plans. Therefore, the blessing eludes you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's the plans my God has for me. That's the plans that our God has for you. And it's time we get about our Father's business. Prayer team, come up. Father, we thank you for we are blessed beyond measure. But there's no measure to the amount of blessings we could have. We don't do the things we do to get blessed. We do the things we do to thank you for what you've done for us. And we do thank you for the blessings that come with that. When we start to understand your character as we continue taking this walk with you, we understand that if we do what it is you want us to do, then the blessings come and it's nothing to do with us. We can't stop them or start them. It's your will. I know your will is to bless your people. Not some of them either. Your will is to bless them all.